So we've covered now. We've gone through the Last Supper. He's washed the disciples' feet. And then last week, we talked about those verses where Jesus looked at them and said, I am the... Oh, listen, none of you were here last week. Oh, good. Well, I'll just start over from last week. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. All right? Skip down just a few verses and let's look at three basic things that Jesus told his disciples that apply to us today. Right? These were not people specific. It was not just to those guys and those guys only. If you call yourself a believer today, not a make believer, but a true believer, then these words are for you. Verse 13, and whatever you ask, here's the key phrase, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything, here it is again, say it, in my name, I will do it. You know what? You hear people pray like that all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever wondered what that means? A lot of people think that it's just a magical little tag on the end of your prayers, that if I will end my prayer this way, then God will give me whatever I've asked for. God will do what I want Him to do. It doesn't really work that way, right? That's not what Jesus means at all. There's no magic formula to those words, but they are instructions as to how we're to pray. Let me give you four things just really, really quick. Number one, you've got to pray. And if you want God to answer your prayer, then you need to pray the same way that Jesus would pray if He were in your place. What would He ask for? I bet you Jesus wouldn't say, well, Lord, I pray that it doesn't rain today. Or Lord, I hope you help me catch the biggest fish. Or Lord, I really hope for a parking place that's really close to the front door of Krispy Kreme. Or something really important like that. What would Jesus pray for if He were in your place? And that's one of the things that it means to pray in His name. What would He pray for that would be in His will? You ever wondered about that? What's in God's will for your life that you can pray for that God says, I will assure you that I will answer if you will pray according to my will or according to what would bring me glory? You ever thought about, is my prayer, if God answers my prayer, who's going to get the glory in this? Well, a lot of times it's us. Because we pray such selfish prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, give me. Lord, 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 Lord. Lord, I want. Lord, I need. It's all about us, you know. And He says, if you will pray in my name, just like I was praying, things that are according to my will, things that would bring God the glory, then He will answer that. Well, how do you know? I mean, that all sounds so good, but how am I supposed to know how He would pray? How am I supposed to know what's in His will for me to pray about me? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because it's all spelled out right here. And if you don't know the answer to those questions, it's because you're not spending enough time in His Word. Man, that's why it's so important to have that time alone with Him every day where you get up and you're reading and you're studying and you're learning. You're learning about His character and His nature and His desire and His will so that you will know how to pray so that He can answer your prayers. That's really important. And before you just brush this off, if you will really go home and think through what that just said, it'll radically change your prayer life, all right? Look in verse 15. Here's the second thing. Verse 15 says this. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. If I say if, what does that mean? Does that mean since I love you? Is that a certainty? No, it's conditional, isn't it? Right? If I love him with all my heart, then I need to keep his commandments. But what if I really don't love him with all my heart? What if I just know the right words to say? What if I just show up at church every now and then when I don't have anything else on my calendar? What if I'm really not in love with Jesus? Well, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But if you don't really love me, then they're not a priority in your life. You know, this is like, you know, in math, there's a cumulative, not cumulative. What property is it where if A equals B, then B equals A? Help me, guys. Huh? Commutative? It's not associative. Anyway, let's turn it around. The same thing is true if you turn this around. If you keep my commandments, then you love me. How do you know? What if I ask you, what if it was just you and I in a room, and I said, okay, listen, it's just us girls standing here. You tell me the truth. Do you love Jesus? Now listen, you're not stupid. You know the answer that the preacher's looking for, right? Right? And you're not going to really be honest. And so the church answer to that question, do you love Jesus, is what? Yes, Pastor. Absolutely. How do you know? See, that's such a safe answer because you don't know my heart. You don't know if I really mean that. You're not around me 24/7. Anybody can say that in church, but what about when you get home? What about when you go to work or you're at school or you're out with the friends? Then it takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it? Yeah, you can't say, no, you don't, because you don't know my heart. Well, how do you know if somebody does love Jesus? Well, what did we just read? You'll keep his commandments. Well, how does that show? What's the evidence in my life? Number one, one of the main evidences is that I'm going to have a priority in my life to spend time alone with God every day. I mean, other things can get left out, you know, in my life. Things that I like, things that I want. But one thing that I will never do without is being alone with Almighty God to read and to study and to share my heart with Him. God, this is what's going on in my life. And God, I want to pray literally in Your name about these things. Oh, listen, let me ask you something. How's your priorities? Answer this one question. Is Jesus a priority in your life, or does He just get leftovers? That's a big deal. Because if all you're giving Jesus are your leftovers, then you don't love Him. You don't love Him. Yeah, it's just that simple. Because you're not keeping His commandments. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not like, well, I don't know. How do you think about this? What's your opinion? It's a command. Keep my commandment. It's expectation. God expects you to walk with Him. And the evidence of that is your life, right? If someone were to watch your life and listen to your words, I mean, everywhere you went and every place you were, everybody you were around, what would they say? Would they say, boy, this guy or this lady is so in love with Jesus? See, we use a lot of other measurements than that. You know, a lot of people don't keep God's commands, but yet you let music start playing and that hand will go up. And other people will say, oh, look at them. They are so in love with Jesus. Really? Didn't look that way yesterday. Didn't sound like that when you were talking to your parents. Oh, it's not about my actions in church. It's not about the right words to say. It's about my life. My life is the evidence as to whether or not I really love the Lord or not. All right? So here's the deal. We have so substituted, we leave out love and obedience, and we substitute coming to church and being good. And we think that if I'll come to church every now and then, and if I'll try to be good, then that's how I show people I love Jesus. And that's not true at all. If all Jesus wanted was people that came to church and that looked good and acted good, you know who he would have called to be his disciples? The Pharisees. They were in church the whole time. And they knew how to talk. They knew how to act. And they knew how to appear religious. And Jesus called them, you bunch of hypocrites. You're nothing more than a pit of vipers. You're not believers. You're make-believers. Oh, folks, and here's the other thing that happens to us so many times. Have you ever heard this phrase before? So many times we live life backwards. Instead of finding out what God wants and what pleases Him and what would bring Him glory, and that determining how I live, where I go, who I hang out with, and how I act and react, we do it like this. And we live life like we want to, like we think we ought to, and then we just hope that pleases God. And that's so backwards. And most of the time when you're living life backwards like that, you're not pleasing God. You're just make-believing. Oh, listen, he's laying it on the line with these guys. He said, fellas, listen, we've been together for 3 years. We've gone through some good times and some hard times. Right? And I am telling you the things that need to be a major part of your life, because life is about to really get tough. And you're going to find out what you're made of. You're going to find out what's real in your life and what isn't. And the same thing is true for us today. Our churches are full of people, great people. But our churches aren't full of people that everybody's in love with Jesus. We just know how to live and how to act, and we just know the motions to go through and the words to say. Oh, listen, this next part is probably one of my favorite, but this is so incredibly huge. Look at these next two verses, and if you're underlining things, you're going to just about underline all the verse. And I will pray, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Up until this point in John, if you think back to all through all these weeks and months, very little has ever been said about the Holy Spirit of God. He hadn't addressed the Holy Spirit. He hadn't talked about the Holy Spirit. But now, all of a sudden, he's going to bring the Holy Spirit front and center. And the first thing he's going to do is he's going to identify the Holy Spirit with two and a half names. All right, he's going to call him, in New King James, it says another helper, right? But you may have a translation that says, I'm going to give you another, say it again, advocate, all right? Another one would be comforter. Another one would be, that's real common, Counselor, is that what you said? Yeah, another counselor. A lot of different translations. There's only one word that Jesus used, and here the different translations have used different synonyms, but the word here is a word of one who is called a lawyer. It's really a legal term. It's almost like a lawyer in the court who has been called next to you to lead you, to guide you, to strengthen you. When it says a counselor, it doesn't mean that he's there to console you. Not at all, but he's there to give you strength, all right? He says, I'm going to give you another helper to help you walk with me, to help you be strong and mean what you live and what you say. And then verse 16, it calls him the Spirit of Truth. All right. Now here is where we begin to link up the Holy Spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, John 14:6, the verse that you didn't know earlier that I quoted for you, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Same word here, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus identified himself as truth, and here he's identifying the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. He's saying that, you know what? The Holy Spirit is Almighty God. He's as much Almighty God as God the Father. He's as much Almighty God as I am. He is the third person of the Trinity. Now, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. I want us to walk into this a little bit at a time. He's equal. We always think, a lot of times we think it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you know, and he's kind of like the little brother in this family. But Scripture says that they're all three Almighty God. We don't worship three gods. Muslims say that we worship three different gods, and that's not true. We worship one God, one Jehovah God, who manifests himself in three different persons, right? He comes as Father, he comes as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes as the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is 100% God, 100% God. He's not any less than the Father or the Son. And we know this as the Trinity. Now, let's keep going because these verses are so rich, all right? And it says, he says in 15 or 16, excuse me, I will give you another helper that what? Say it. It. He may abide. 16, down at the bottom, it says, but you know him, for it is in you. Come on, guys. He is in you. It's a person. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. It's not an atmosphere. We use it like, oh, the spirit of Christmas. Oh, I feel so happy. Well, that's nothing to do with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Almighty God, and He, masculine pronoun, He is as much God as the Father and the Son, and He is part of the Trinity. He is part of that Trinity. I went blank a minute here. Here we go. He is the one who's going to be living in you. Let's keep going. During Jesus' time on earth, right? Think about this. The disciples are in there. They're still not connecting the dots yet, but they're up in this upper room, and this is a very intense time, right? And for the last 3 years, Jesus has been with these guys almost 24/7, except when he would send them out to teach and to preach and to heal. But then they would come back together and they would talk, they would share, they would pray. He was there to encourage them. He was there to love them. He was there to instruct them. I mean, they were so close. And I don't know about you, but there have been times when I've wondered so much what it would have been like to have been a disciple. What would it have been like to have had Jesus right there with you for 3 years? Can you imagine that? Just to be able to talk to him and Jesus answer you. Just to be able to learn his heart and sense what he wanted you to do and what he wanted you to be. All right, think about this now. Jesus is saying, fellas, I hope you're connecting some dots here, because I've been trying to tell you, I am about to leave. I'm fixing to leave you, but when I do, I'm going to give you another helper, another advocate, another counselor, right? Another comforter, and he's not going to be with you. All right, every word is important. We do grammar so much. He didn't say he's going to be with you. He said he's going to be what? In you. Is there a difference? It's a radical difference. And if you thought the disciples had it good, being with Jesus, all buddy, buddy, and all this kind of stuff, he says, listen, what you don't understand is it's fixing to get better than you could ever dream, because I'm giving you somebody that's going to come to live inside of you. You're not going to be with them. He's going to live in you, and it's going to be the presence of Almighty God. He's equal to me. He's equal to Jehovah God, God the Father, and he is going to come and inhabit the life of every believer. All right? Now, boy, listen, that makes it so much more personal. That's a whole lot more personal than hanging out with somebody. This is so much more intimate. This is so much more, I'm telling you, it doesn't get any better than this. You can't get any closer to God than when God comes to live in your heart. And that's the evidence that you're a believer. You've got the presence of Almighty God living inside of you. Hang on, take it another step deeper. He says in verse 15, 16, and I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you not just a helper, not just an advocate or a counselor or a comforter. Tell me what he's going to give you. What's the word in front of that? Another. Well, I mean, that can't be real special, can it? Every word is important, and every word is special. Let me tell you about this word, another. And when Jesus spoke this to the guys, I can just see their eyes opening up, but I wonder if they really get it. There's two different words that are translated another in Scripture. All right, there's one word that Jesus could have spoke, and it is allos, right? And there's another word that he could have spoken, heteros, and they both mean another, but they're both radically different, right? Let me give you an example. All right, how many of you have a Flint River pen in a sticking on the back of the chair in front? You guys don't have a chair in front of you, but in the back of the chair in front of you. You can't see this far up here, but I am holding one of the best pens in the world. I love these pens, a little Flint River. Listen to it. Click, 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 click. You can clip it on. Wonderful pen. What if I said, here is something to write with, okay? And what if I said, here's another. What is this one? Can you see that close? What is it? Same thing, right? That's what allos is. Allos means I'm giving you another exactly like me. What if I said, now these are things that you can write with, and I was looking for something that you could tell is not the same, and I hold up a red magic marker, and I said, and here's another. You can write with this, can't you? Right? It's another writing utensil, but it's another one that's what? Different, radically different. And Jesus said, listen, guys, I'm leaving you, but the comforter that I'm bringing, the comforter that's going to come and take my place, is another. It's exactly like me. Now, Jesus doesn't live in our hearts. Well, wait a minute. And I was told to invite Jesus into my heart. Well, and they meant well. And they were talking about inviting God to come into your heart. But Jesus doesn't come to live in your heart. It's Almighty God in the form of the Holy Spirit is who comes to live in your heart and be with you and to love you and to teach you and to lead you and to guide you and to fall in love, for you to fall in love with, for you to depend on. I mean, the whole nine yards. It's a person. It's not an influence. It's not a force. It's not a ooh, anything like that. But it's Almighty God in the form of the Holy Spirit of God. It is God's presence in your life. And that's the proof that you've been saved. That's the proof that you're a believer. Not that you show up in church. Not that you give money, not that you serve over in preschool and change diapers or whatever the case may be. The proof that your life has been changed is because the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, a person, comes to live inside of you. Oh, listen. And if you think that's great, there's still more. Look what he says in here. He says in 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper that he may abide with you, what? Forever. All right, now let me check. What do you think? This is hard. I know you've not had Greek, right? And that's what this is probably written in. But, I mean, just... you might get this. Take a wild guess. What do you think forever means? Oh, dude, you're so smart. I am shocked. I'm absolutely, it means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But you know what? There's a lot of churches that teach things that are radically opposed to these two verses right here. Number one, there are churches, and we've got them not far up and down the road from us right now, that teaches you that you can lose your salvation. Oh yeah, buddy, you sin, man. God's done with you. You lost your salvation. You can die right now and go to hell. Well, help me with how that fits in with forever. Right? If God's going to live inside of me when I surrender my life to Him forever, then how can I ever lose that? Well, what about these people that claim they're Christians and they're living like the devil? Well, you can claim anything, right? All you got to do is watch the news. There's idiots that are claiming they're dogs and, We got people in your schools, they have to put cat litter boxes in there because they think they're a cat, right? You can claim anything, but that doesn't make it real in your life, right? There are a lot of make believers in churches today that say they're believers, that God's never changed their lives. Oh, so gosh, I guess that's not really true what they're saying, is it? No. Well, how about this one? When you surrender your life to Christ, and it says God comes to live inside of you. What about the people, and you can go up and down the parkway here. What about the people that say, well, have you had the second blessing? Have you got the ghost? Because if you got the ghost, you need to start jumping over chairs, running up and down the aisle. Oh, what a bunch of garbage, right? The Holy Spirit is a person, and it's Almighty God. And He comes to live inside your heart and your life when you say, God, I need You. I've never surrendered my life to You. I've never asked You to change my life. God, I need You, and I want to give my life to You. Boom, instantaneously, the presence of God comes to live in your heart, and you've got that relationship with Almighty God as if it were a father-child relationship. He becomes your heavenly Father. We are now children of God, and we're part of His family. And folks, there's no such thing as a second blessing. You know what? That's just not true. And you know, these verses spell it out so plain and so clear. You know what? The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. I'm certain of that. And I can tell you, I can look you right in the eyes and tell you, you know what? I've never had a second blessing. I don't need one. I've never jumped over chairs. I've never danced up and down the aisles. They got churches now where you go up and down the aisles barking like a dog. Have you seen those? I mean, there's some nuts out there, right? All in the name of a second blessing? Mm-mm. I've got Almighty God living inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And His presence is my guarantee that I will spend eternity with Him in heaven. Oh, folks. And I hope you know that. Well, there's a lot of things this morning that you can learn from what we've been talking about. You know what? Go back to that first thing that we were talking about. And when we were talking about in Jesus' name, how's your prayer life? If God could change something about your prayer life, what would He want you to change? What do you think He might not be pleased with your prayer life about? Is it maybe the fact that it's non-existent? I don't know. You've got to answer that, not me. Is it the fact that maybe it's just so selfish and you're just praying all about you and you've got no thought about what gives Him glory and what He wants? I don't know. But I promise you, there's not a real true believer in here that God doesn't want to change something about your prayer life. What is it? Will you let Him do that today? You know, we talked about loving God and obeying God. You know, it's not in motions and it's not in knowing the right words. It's in your life. Is there evidence in your life that you are in love with Jesus? And the evidence is that you are keeping His commandments. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the way that He taught us to live and to talk and to act and to treat people. But the biggest thing is this. How are you and the Holy Spirit of God getting along? Are you falling more and more and more in love with Almighty God each and every day because you're spending time alone with Him? You know, is He that evident in your life that the people around you compliment you because they can sense God's presence in your life? Oh, folks, listen. There's some people in here that have probably never given your life to Christ. There's some people in here that claim they have, but in reality probably never have. You know, maybe you went along with the crowd. Maybe you were just going through the motions. I'm not sure what it was. But the proof is He's never changed your life. He's never become a priority in your life. There are people in this room this morning right now that need to give your life to Christ. God, I'm giving You my life. I'm turning everything over to you. God, I'm asking you to change my life. Because if my life doesn't change, it means that I've never given you my life. God, would you change my life? I had one of the saddest conversations today with a good friend, not today, this week, with a good friend of mine. And for the first time, got to go through the whole plan of salvation with him. And I just knew he was going to get saved. I mean, for a year now, I've been praying, God, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. And he's one of the workmen that have been here. And God just opened it up last Thursday, I think it was. And we were together for 45 minutes or more. And I got to unload the whole thing to him. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, I'm not interested. I don't want God to change my life. I don't want that. Really? Tell me why. I guess I'm around too many people every day that claim to be a believer. And I watch the way they live. Now listen to the way they talk, and I don't need what they've got. Wow. We talked a little bit more, and I hadn't given up on him. They'll be here for another couple weeks. We're getting close. And I've just been praying, God, you don't need me for him to come to Christ. But in the next couple of weeks, would you give me one more chance to talk? One more chance to share? Nicest guy in the world. I've come to love him like a brother. But if he died today, and I asked him, I said, what happens if you die? He said, well, I guess I'll go to hell. I don't know how somebody can know that and not want to do anything about it. There's some people sitting here that are in that same place. And I hope today, if that's you, that God is so squeezing your heart, God is drawing you, you understand that God came to this earth and gave his life just so that you could have the ability to be forgiven, the ability to give your life to him, and the ability to spend the rest of eternity with him. My question to you is, have you made that kind of a decision? I don't know what God's been talking to you about while we've been studying this morning, but I pray you're listening, and I pray that you'll respond. Father, thank you, Lord, for our worship today. God, thank you that you loved us so much that you came to this earth. God, you came to pay the penalty for our sin, and you came to make forgiveness available. And to everybody that says yes, you said, I'll do you one better. I'm going to give you another person just like me who's going to live inside of you. God, I'm thankful today that you live inside of me. And God, I pray today for anybody in this audience, however old or young, if they've never surrendered their lives to you, if their lives have never been radically changed by you, that today would be the day. Just because they're a member of a church, just because they go every now and then, God, that doesn't make you a believer. But it's the fact of surrender and a changed life. And the evidence is the presence of God in our lives. Father, I pray, whatever you're speaking to our hearts about today, that our answer to you will be yes, and we will let you change us and make us more like you.